I have just a brief sermon today, and then we'll go into a time of baptism and confirmation. We're continuing in our sermon study on Jesus in the Old Testament. And I know that's such an interesting title. It comes from a resurrection story that we find in Luke chapter 24 on the road to Emmaus. As the disciples are on the road to Emmaus, they are considering all that has happened right after Christ died on the cross. And there is a stranger that appears with them and walks with them. And their eyes are kept from recognizing that it is Jesus. He opens the scripture to them, and they say later that their hearts burned within them. And those scriptures that we know that he opened, that would have been the scriptures that we find in the Old Testament. It says in Luke 24 that beginning with the books of Moses and all the prophets, he let them know where he could be found in the Old Testament. All these stories that point to him that we might not have seen before. And so this study, this time is kind of looking at those images, looking at those stories in a whole new way, as the early church would have seen them, and they would have seen them in a whole new way. Different symbols would point to other things. And so last week we talked about the mysterious priest that Abraham encounters in Genesis 14. The week before that, we talked about Jesus Christ as the creator, the Word before the beginning of time with God, and all things that were created were through him. So today we come to a story in Genesis 22, but before we do that, I wanted to start with the most familiar scripture to us perhaps in the New Testament, and that would be one that you no doubt know by heart, and it would be John 3:16. And this image here is from the Jesus Storybook Bible. It is a Bible that is for children, but not just for children. I have gotten so much out of this. If you don't have a copy of this on your bookshelf, or if you haven't bought a copy for a child or a grandchild, that you can find it on the Amazon. Amazon will send it right to you. But all through this story, it helps us to see these images that are connected. And it says that every story whispers his name. I've gotten a whole lot out of it, and I see things in it that I might not be able to see just reading through the Bible. But then when I see them written in the Bible, I can make these connections. And so I lift this up, this picture of Jesus going up the Mount, Calvary's mountain. And of course we know it by heart, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, as you're studying Scripture, there is a certain practice that you might try. Now, this is a lot of fun. When you're studying the Bible and you're in the New Testament and you get to a word or phrase or concept, it's called the principle of first mention. Now, that's kind of a technical term, but what it means is you look at the principle of first mention. It means when you see a word like love, you might have this light bulb go off in your mind. Where is the first time in the Bible that the word love is mentioned? Oh, good question, Pastor Dan. I will save you the time of finding it on your own, and I will just let you know that it is in Genesis chapter 22. And the concept is this. The context is this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said, "Abraham, here I am," Abraham said. This is, of course, the call of the faithful. We see this over and over in the Bible. God calls someone. God might call your name, and you respond by saying, "Here I am." Okay? He says, "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah." Now, you might know what comes next. And it is oftentimes confusing, and we think how strange this story is in our Bible, because the next line in it is, "And sacrifice your son," the only one that you, your only son, the one that you love, as a burnt offering. Just a moment when we pause and we consider this. And what the Bible is what we don't really understand is the culture of the time. Way, way back in Abraham's day, child sacrifice was not uncommon. It was something that many tribal gods would ask for. And what this story is saying to us is that our God provides the sacrifice. And this was a step forward in human consciousness, where the altar before created such an anxiety. Because if you think about it, how do you know that you're okay with God? How do you know that you've given enough? If you had a really good year and you offer this much, well, maybe the next year you didn't offer as much and the rains don't come, and maybe God is upset or angry with you. And so there was a great anxiety. And so priests in other cultures, they would, well, God, what do you want? Is it my blood? Is it, what is it? They would have these strange rituals in other cultures. And so with it, what is the most important thing to you? What is the greatest gift that you could give to make God happy? And so the firstborn son would be sacrificed. And so to hear this, it seems so strange for us, but Abraham is saying that this is what needs to happen. And he goes up the mountain, and there's this picture of him coming up the mountain, but we see all through the story, it's whispering to us, there's faith. Abraham sees that even if God asks him to go through with this, he'll raise his son back from the dead. He has this faith all through it, and you can see these glimpses, like in verse 5, stay here with the donkey, he says to his servants, while the boy and I go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. What word do you see that stands out in this verse? We. He has faith already in the story. Isaac asked a question, and it is a question that echoes through the scriptures. Isaac asked a question, where is the lamb, Father, for the burnt offering? That question will come up over and over. We'll hear John the Baptist later in the New Testament pointing to Jesus and saying, behold, the Lamb of God. This will be a concept that will come up over and over again, the Lamb of God. Abraham says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. This is why Abraham is the father of our faith. He trusts that it's going to be okay, that it's going to turn out okay. He gets to the top of the mountain and he lifts the knife. And then you hear his name called not once but twice, Abraham, Abraham. Don't harm your child. He looks up and there is a ram caught in the thorns. And I never saw this image. I always thought, oh, how convenient. No, there's a ram. But the ram there caught in the thorns. The first time that we see the thorns in the Bible was when we hear about the curse in the first part of Genesis, where the ground no longer produced the good fruit, but thorns grew. It's a sign of the curse. And this ram caught in the thicket, in the thorns, well, that reminds us of something else, doesn't it? It is within it, the early church would have seen this allegory. Who else had thorns on his head? The curse that Jesus will carry for us. And the narrator of the story at this point wants us to know this really clearly. It breaks even from the story, and the narrator says, look, let me show you this. This is what the story is about. It is about our God provides the sacrifice. And this mountain will forever be called Yahweh Jireh. Yahweh Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. It's a glimpse into the future. It's a glimpse of what will will be right there in the Old Testament. And the early church would have seen this, and we do too, how the story is whispering over and over, God will provide for us. In the Jesus Storybook Bible, I was reading it this week and looking at these pictures and wanting to share this, and it says it like this: many years later, another son would climb another hill, carrying wood on his back. Like Isaac, he would trust his father and do what his father asked. He wouldn't struggle or run away. Who was he? God's son, his only son that he loved, the Lamb of God. When we see a story like this and we get this message that God provides, we turn to think about what it is that we worship on a daily basis and how sometimes it would be so much easier if we had many gods that we called gods, but we have many gods that we don't call God. Like the God of success is striving so hard, giving your very life for something that doesn't last. The gods of addiction, whatever it is you give your life, yourself to. It's for each of us to know that our God is different from those other gods that we might worship, that anyone else might sacrifice for. Our God provides the sacrifice, and we are the ones that get to live a life of freedom, a life of joy, a life of dedication to doing the good that Christ has for us to do as the body of Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this message, for this image. We thank you for all the ways that you provide for us, all that we have needed, your hands have provided. So God, we thank you for the faith of our fathers and mothers. God, we thank you that they are cheering us on, reminding us to look for the author and perfecter of our faith, to know that the sacrifice has been given and that we are the ones that are covered and we are the ones that get to live. God, we love you and we thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.